We have Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus, and we'll just kind of sprint through it here. It's a fairly long text. There's, you know, the strong theme in Luke about the danger of wealth and its potentially destructive temptation. And Jesus continues here. I think it's significant to note. He's speaking, I think, to the Pharisees, to his opponents, as opposed to disciples. Now, it doesn't specifically say that, but we have the Pharisees in view in verse 14, who are called lovers of money, specifically. And Jesus speaks to them, and then without any indication that the address has changed, He tells this parable, and then in 17:1 he says to his disciples. So I think it's relatively clear that these are the Pharisees who are the addressees. And again, it's a pretty harsh story, and very much of a warning to them. And I think it is a parable. It's not specifically called a parable, but it begins just almost exactly the way the parable in 16:1 began. There it's anthropos tis ein plousias, and here it's anthropos de tis ein plousias. So, I mean, it's really close. Jesus is telling another parable here. So there was a certain rich man, picking up verse 19 then. And now we have all kinds of unusual verbs here. Luke's vocabulary is a lot more varied. En didisco means to dress or put on, and in the middle, this is the imperfect middle. It means to dress oneself, and it is imperfect, and so probably he typically dressed. He habitually dressed in purple, dressed himself in porphyron, the color of wealthy people, and bison, which is apparently a loan word from Hebrew. I looked this up. Boots means fine linen. I still know how to use my Hebrew lexicon. That's right. And this is bisos, which apparently means fine linen. He typically dressed this way. Euphrenomenos, as he enjoyed himself luxuriously, lampros, splendidly, day by day, kathemeron. So maybe that participle expresses attendant or coordinate circumstance, or maybe temporal, but not too sharp a distinction there. Lampros, you may recognize, is related, it's the adverb for the word lamp, and so he enjoys himself shiningly, splendidly. He's having a good time. He's pretty much like the guys in Amos 6, in fact, that we just heard about. Now, by contrast, but a poor person, a ptokos, a certain poor person, a tis one, with respect to name Lazarus, had been thrown. Here we have you've been longing to see a pluperfect form. Here is one. A pluperfect middle from balo, bebleta. He had been thrown. He was lying. He stood in the condition and was in the condition of having been thrown. At the gate, prostan pilona, of him, his gate, the rich man's gate. Hail komenas. This is from helkao, which means to cause sores. And this is the perfect passive participle, having had sores been caused, literally. So he's all eaten up with, you know, sore spots and festering wounds. And here, because it's a perfect passive participle, you know, I'm just sort of thinking this is kind of like an adjective describing tachas. So translate perhaps almost who was eaten up with sores. Verse 21, and he was desiring or longing, kortasthenai, to be filled. I think this is the same verb as in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for they will be filled. And he was, a complimentary infinitive tells what he was longing. He was longing to be filled from the falling things, ton piptanton, the falling things from the table of the rich guy. Right? But even, there's a strong adversative, so this is what he wanted, but in fact what was happening was that the kines were the dogs, as they came, used to lick And here's another rare verb. I think this is actually a hapax legomena, maybe in all of Greek literature. It means epilecho, which means to lick, and here it's imperfect. So in contrast to the imperfect ongoing dressing of oneself in fine linen, this guy's ongoing habitual state was having dogs come and lick his sores. And in case you didn't know, this is not fun. Okay? He's unclean, he's in pain, he's disgusting. This was his lot. And so they licked the sores of him. And here you have the noun, helkos, that's related to the verb that we had in the end of verse 21, helkomenos, right? Helkao and helkos. Okay, that's the situation. Now it changes, verse 22. Agenita de apothanein, tan ptacha. Now this looked a little unusual to me. I think, Jim, you would know, doesn't Luke normally use an articular infinitive after agenita de? Or does he sometimes just use this absolute infinitive? This is okay too? All right. Well, it happened that, or maybe just temporarily, when the poor man died, also, now we, principal parts are your friends, ap enechthenai. Can anybody identify the first principal part of that verb? It took me a while. It's from apophero, right, to carry away, right? And this is the aorist infinitive passive. And he, auton is this logical subject of the infinitive, and he was carried away by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. So now this is where the reversal takes place. So he gets carried to Abraham's bosom, and then at least at first, all it says is, but also the rich man died and was buried. And we will hear more about his condition in the next verse, to which we will hasten. And in Hades, as he lifted up his eyes, because he was in torments, so maybe take the epiros from epiro, to lift up, as a temporal or coordinating circumstances, and maybe hip archon as causal. Because he was in torment, he saw hora. Here's just the present indicative active of horao, and the alpha contract, you know, does that funny thing that where the eta is subsumed and the circumflex goes over and the iota becomes subscript or stays subscript. He sees Abraham from a distance. A little bit of oomph there maybe with the historical present. Not he saw, but he sees. He sees Abraham from a distance and Lazarus in his bosoms. And Abraham's been doing so well that now he has two bosoms instead of just one. And I think that's just idiomatic, and you can do it that way. Sort of like you can have gamas feast and gamoi feasts, and it doesn't change the sense too much. And no, never mind. I was going to say something about bosoms there. And he himself called out and said, verse 24, Father Abraham, mercy me, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus for this purpose, so that he might dip bapto, the aorist subjunctive of bapto, bapse, so that he might dip the ultimate top, the akron, the end, and hence the tip of his finger, of water. A little idiomatic there, but the sense is clear enough. In water. And he might cool off, kata psycho, cool off the tongue of me, because odinomai en te phlegi taute, because I am in agony in this flame. Odinao means to cause pain, and according to the lexicon, it only occurs in the passive voice in our literature. Odinomai, and it means to feel pain. I am in agony. I'm feeling... it hurts, and it's not a good kind of hurt, right? let's see, I lost my place in an attempt to be funny. And Abraham said, child, remember, aorist imperative, remember from mimnescomai, remember that you received, apolambano, you aorist, you received the good things of you in your life, and Lazarus likewise the evil things, takaka. But now here, he is being comforted, parakaletai, but you are in pain. Odinazai would be the... notice that it's the second person singular, and it has the full ending instead of the contracted one. My sai tai, right? You don't see that all that often in Koine Greek. At least I don't think you do. And the narrative just continues. I mean, here's the contrast. You received good things in your earthly life, and Lazarus is now receiving the blessings of eternity. And so we'll just kind of hasten through and then say one or two things. And with respect to all these things, between us, metachi himon, between us and you, now this is easy enough to translate, a chasm, a great one, has been and is established. Here's from steirizo, to set up or fix, and this is the perfect passive. It has been and stands as fixed. With this, so that for the purpose, that's interesting, hupos purpose, so that those who wish to diabino, to cross over, enthen prosimas, from here to you, are not able, may dinantai, they are not able to cross over, neither from there to us may they cross over, from dia perao. And he said, verse 27, now he responds, okay, if my fate is sealed and I can't cross over to you and Lazarus can't come help me, I ask you, therefore, Father, talking to Abraham now, or I beg you, and hina after verbs of requesting or asking is not purpose, but expresses the, it's like an infinitive, it expresses the content of the request, complementary in that sense. So here's what I'm asking you, that you send him, Lazarus, into the house of my father. Now, here's a little interruptive explanation. For I have five brothers, echo gar pente adelfus. And then it picks up the main sentence again. Send him, hapos, so that he may bear witness to them. Dia martyromai is a deponent and can take the dative of the people to whom you're bearing witness. So that he may bear witness to them, so that not also they themselves might come into this place of torment, so that they also may not come into this tormenting place. And Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets, accusatozan auton, let them hear them. Third person plural imperative, and auton is in the genitive because it's, you often hear the person speaking in the genitive and the thing heard in the accusative. So let them hear them. But he said to them, no, or uki, maybe elliptical for, they won't pay attention, Father Abraham, but, aeontis, if a certain one from the dead journeys, goes to them, they will repent. If this might happen, they will do that. Future more vivid condition. But he said to him, verse 31, if Moses and the prophets, they do not hear. And note that Moses and prophets are again in the genitive as the persons who are doing the speaking and the persons whom you're to hear. If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither if a certain one from the dead rises, will they be persuaded. Well, yeah, you just got it. Yeah, right. And notice that his first request is, grant that someone might go, peroiomai, from the dead, hear Jesus as he tells the parable, even if someone rises from the dead. I mean, we've got all kinds of theology here. We've got the dangers of possessions. That's a strong Lucan theme, their power to corrupt. We've got the power of the word. We've got the integral connection and continuity between Moses and the prophets and the one who rises from the dead, right? And so this is, I mean, again, it's that you have to preach it carefully because it's a text spoken to Jesus' enemies. Right? But, fair enough, second use of the law also for Christians, and yet there's opportunity here to marvel that the Word of God has been sufficient for God's people to cause them to hear what God's Word has said, and to repent, and to be called into a life which will not, in fact, be characterized by absolute, utter, and callous disregard for the need of the people whom God places around us. So you can do interesting things theologically here, but we're out of time. So very good. Yeah, that's the gospel, yeah.